Good morning. Well, it's good to see everybody here. I kind of missed my cardigan sweater from last week. It was a nice change of pace. So if you missed the service last week, we celebrated Fred Rogers and all that he stood for. So meanwhile, we are back to the Lenten observances now. Don't forget, next Sunday is Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, depending on how you were raised. And we're going to have a high celebration with children and people with palms and all the things that go along with that, building up to Easter Sunday. But first, we've got to go through Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. We will be having those services, obviously, Thursday and Friday. So be attuned to that for next week as we go through the drama of Holy Week. You will see stuff in the midweek news about times of services, and there will be a nursery provided for everything except for Good Friday, which I understand will be at noon and will be a brief service, about 30 minutes or so. We are still collecting donations for Heroes Against Child Abuse through March and the One Great Hour of Sharing, which has become a bit more prescient this Sunday with the tornadoes that have gone through. I understand LaGrange was hit and parts of Callaway Gardens for those of us who enjoy going down there to Pine Mountain. And then Milledgeville was also being hit as I left the house this morning. So let us remember that we are called to respond to our brothers and sisters in Mississippi who have suffered disaster through the arms of Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, which is one of the great beneficiaries of One Great Hour of Sharing. Christian Education Congregational Life teams are planning an Easter egg hunt for all the children on Saturday the 8th at 11 a.m. front lawn of the church. That is always, anywhere I have ever been, a time of joy and surprise and simply marvelous companionship as you watch the children hide the eggs that the adults have so maliciously hidden. So plan to come and be a part of that on Holy Saturday. Yes, that's what it's called, Holy Saturday. So are there any other, let's see. Mary Dobbs, did I get the name right? No. Mary Dover, I do have my hearing aids. Mary Dover's brother has passed away. So let us keep that family in our prayers. I don't know anything else at this time. Yes. Oh, the friendship pads, the fellowship pads, whatever we call them. At the end of each pew, you will find a fellowship pad. Be sure to fill that out. We're not trying to keep tabs on your comings and goings. This will not be shared with the Communist Chinese, I promise you. But we do want to keep track of who's here, how many, and what they're up to. So please feel free to fill it out as fully as you feel comfortable. Any other announcements? It's just an exciting time to be here. And I'm glad to be serving with you. Let us come and worship the Lord together as we share the peace of Christ.
Please stand for the call to worship. Death does not have the final word.
What do you mean by that? Dead is dead.
Just that death is a broken power.
What do you mean broken? Dead is dead.
Maybe I mean that death itself is broken.
Why don't you figure out what you mean and then let us know?
Okay, here is what I mean. There are words beyond death's voice, powerful words, creative words, words like, come forth. That is what we are called to hear. Even when we think that we and those we love are dead, even when our tombs are sealed and our bodies are bound.
Perhaps we will learn more of this with that hope and prayer. Let us worship God.
And let us pray. We have gathered, O Lord, to witness that we don't understand, to consider things which to us are incomprehensible, to learn that in life, in death, in life beyond death, we are not alone. You are with us, and that is enough. Amen.
God is here as we are.
You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for seeking a simple faith with easy answers to complex questions. We are so quickly distracted and soon exhausted with the business of living that we feel we need a safe harbor where no terrors lurk or dangers abide, a place where we need not think or question or doubt. We want an escape from life, if only for an hour. But faith is not simple. It is a work in progress. Sometimes the quality of our faith is measured by the gravities of our doubts, fears, and questions. Help us remember that you had all of these in your life among us. So may we embrace your faith and follow your path obediently. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. There's my sidekicks. Okay. I didn't see Hannah and Hayley. All right. What have you got on there? Is it a scarf? What does it say? State champions. Dalton soccer? Wow. Okay, well, let's get started properly. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we got it. It only took us 4 or 5 months, but we got it.
Good morning.
And there we go. I love it. I love it so much because it wakes all the adults up out there, isn't it? Well, we are on the last Sunday of Lent. Just about Palm Sunday. Next week. What do we do on Palm Sunday? Is that when we cook a turkey and dressing and no? Oh, we shoot off fireworks and cook outside. No. Palm Sunday. I think of palms, I think of the beach. We all go to the beach. No? What do we do on Palm Sunday?
We do an Easter egg hunt.
We do an Easter egg hunt. That's right. Well, maybe not quite on Palm Sunday, the day before Palm Sunday. No, excuse me, the Saturday before Easter. We do that some other day. Palm Sunday, we welcome Jesus into Jerusalem.
Jerusalem with waving palms. And some people got so excited, they threw some of their clothes out in front of Jesus. And so this was the week that Jesus comes triumphantly into Jerusalem, and it begins what we call Holy Week. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. In order to celebrate Palm Sunday, we're going to have palms here. And part of the service is going to be for you two and other children to wave palms as we come down the aisles. Can you do that next Sunday? Can you be a part of the service and get ready for it? No. There's a lot that goes into getting ready for Holy Week and Palm Sunday. We might have a few more people here on Easter Sunday and Palm Sunday, so we might see some people we haven't seen for a while. And I want us to make them all feel welcome. We might have some people who've never been to church before, and we want to make them all feel welcome. So next Sunday, on Palm Sunday, let us have the biggest smiles on our faces that we can have. Let's show off our teeth, because sunshine is really good for your teeth. Okay? Let's remember that. Let's get ready for Palm Sunday. It's going to be a great week. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for the anticipation of things like Christmas and Holy Week and Easter and birthdays and good parties and friends. We thank you that looking forward to stuff is a big part of who we are. So help us get our hearts ready and our smiles ready and our faces ready to meet your children and welcome them into Holy Week. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Jesus loves me.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning is Psalm 130. Listen for God's word. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Listen for God's word. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may increase? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I do so appreciate what I consider to be a world-class choir, and thank you. Oh, yes, yes, by all means. Getting applause from Presbyterians. Ah, the next step up is an amen, but if you scratch a Southern Presbyterian deep enough, you're going to find a Southern Baptist, if not an out-and-out anarchist. Our scripture lesson today, it's another lengthy one, that seems to be the pattern as we get closer to Palm Sunday, is from the 11th chapter of St. John's Gospel. We are reading verses 1 through 45. Here, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there was a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, thank you for having heard me. I knew that you would always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. O God, our Creator, we come before you as the evidence of your creation. We stand and sit here ready to hear your word, you who are our founder, our father, and our peace. So open the ears of our souls and the eyes of our hearts that we may hear and see and believe and thus live to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I think if you live long enough, death is going to come to your house. And some of us get a little earlier experience of it than others do. And such was the case with my two boys. I have the elder son, Mac, who Mac is very sensitive, and he is very dramatic, sometimes melodramatic. He sees a chance to emote in any given situation. And then you have our younger child, Ian, who is far more practical. He sees things as they are and calls the shots as he sees them. It just so happened that the lady who had raised me and my sister and my brother, the one who instilled in me a love of cooking and feeding people, she had taken care of four generations of our family, my grandparents, my parents, me, and then my two boys. And the time came for Alice to be gathered under her father's and mother's. And so we went to the funeral home, and I had the boys with me, and Alice was in the casket, beautifully made up, and looked like she might just sit up and say, "What in the world is going on here?" And so Mac was standing beside me, and Ian was in my arm. And the people came by and offered their condolences and looked at Alice and said the obligatory, "Doesn't she look natural? Looks just like herself." And Mac was caught up in the moment, and he said to Ian, Alice has gone to sleep, and she's not going to wake up." And Ian looked at Mac, and he looked at Alice, and he looked at Mac, and he looked at Alice, and he looked at Mac, and he said, "Mac, Alice is dead." From the lips of a four-year-old comes truth. Alice was dead. She was surely dead. As we used to say in the hospital, she had assumed room temperature. And there she was. And Mac and Ian were both right. She had indeed fallen asleep and was not going to wake up on this side of Jordan Stream. And she was indeed dead, as dead can be. If you ever have any questions about that, I recommend to you Jessica Mitford's book, The American Way of Death. It was a 1960s expose of the funeral industry, and it goes into great and gory detail about the preparation and the marketing of funerals. If you don't want to read that book, I will understand it. But here is Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. 4 days he has been in the grave. In Jewish tradition, it was believed that after 3 days, the spirit left the body. And after the third day, there was no hope of anyone ever coming back. So it is significant that it was 4 days, Lazarus in the tomb. And as Mary or Martha, one of them, notices, when Jesus says to open the tomb, they say, no, let's not. There might be a stench. There's already a stench. I always loved the King James Version of that because it made my grandmother so mad. She said, Lord, he hath lain in the tomb for 4 days, therefore he stinketh. Grandmother thought stink was an ugly word. So I rejoiced whenever this passage came around because I'd watch Grandmama kind of squirm. She didn't believe the authors of the Bible should have included that word in Holy Writ. So Lazarus is dead, and Mary and Martha are beside themselves. And they're not a little bit angry at Jesus. They had sent word to him that Lazarus was sick. And they both believe, had he been there, Lazarus would not have died. We have a hard time with people who are angry at God. We feel a need sometimes to protect God. You should never be angry at God, my mother told me. That is an automatic go to hell. That's what she said. Go to hell, go directly to hell, do not pass go, do not collect $200. You get mad at God, God gets mad back at you, and bad things happen. That was her belief. And yet here in this passage, we see Jesus dealing graciously with Mary and Martha. You know, the word love is mentioned 3 times in this passage. And often when the word love is placed in a passage, it is a pivot point where something else is going to happen. But in this case, love is an anchor point because it is the love of Jesus for Mary and Martha and Lazarus that causes Jesus, first of all, to be there, second of all, to console Mary and Martha, and only third of all, to raise Lazarus. Mary and Martha, we remember them from the story where Mary is angry, or is it Martha? I never can keep those two straight in my mind. It's a sign of my longevity. But one of them's working hard in the kitchen and says, Lord, send my sister in here. Somebody has got to put on the pot roast. And the other one was in there listening to Jesus. And that just made the first one so mad. And Jesus said, no, she's got the better part. And I'm not going to take it from her. These are those same two sisters, two personalities diametrically opposed to each other. And yet they are united in their grief. And Martha meets Jesus out on the road. If you'd been here, if only you'd been here. Have you ever noticed how much of our lives are built around the if-onlys of life? If only I'd gotten that job. If only that person had cooperated. If only God had answered my prayers the way I told God to answer them. If-onlys. And Jesus does not entertain that at all. Jesus doesn't operate out of if-onlys. Jesus operates out of love and wisdom and providence. Then Martha sends back for Mary, tells her, the teacher's here, and he's calling for you. And you notice Jesus didn't move from where he met Martha. Stayed right there. Let Mary come at her own pace, in her own time. And she came to Jesus and said that same thing. Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. There's that if only again. And Jesus asks both of them, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe that your brother will rise again? And they both kind of tout the party line. Yes, we believe that in the general resurrection of the dead, he's going to come forth. And then Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection. What you don't understand is that what you were looking for at some point in the sweet by and by when you glory and die, then you're going to rise. But no, this is going to happen because I am the resurrection. And the whole crowd is there now. Mary brings all the Jews, as they say, from the house who are weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth, and they are all gathered around. And Jesus said, where did you lay him? And they're all crying. And Jesus participates in the emotion, even though he knows what's going to happen. He loves them so much, he weeps with them. Compassion, the compassion of Christ. I wonder if we can envision at our lowest points when we were weeping with grief or despair or pain, if we could envision Christ weeping with us. It is a powerful symbol. I remember many years ago, I had my first crush. Her name was Patty Hollis. The Patty Hollis Social Club was at the Northside Drive Baptist Church, and she would only date a Baptist, and I went and got dunked so that I could be the recipient of her affections. And after I was baptized, my hair was still wet. It was still present back then. She dropped me like a hot potato, said she detected residual Calvinism in me. And then I found out that was her evangelism style. Go out and meet a boy, bring him to church, get him baptized, go out and get another one. The Patty Hollis Social Club, we all sat on the back pews of the Northside Drive Baptist Church. All of us forlorn. But that Sunday I was in my room and I was weeping, literally weeping, crushed in spirit. And my mother came in, and she didn't just start saying, oh, there's more fish in the sea, you know, and all that kind of stuff. She sat there and she wept with me. Because even though she knew I would survive that, she felt the pain that was mine, and it caused her to weep also. That's the dynamic that we have when Jesus weeps with us. And we don't think about that too often. The compassion of Christ. Then Jesus says, where have you laid him? Where is he? And we know the rest of the story. Jesus stands outside after they've rolled the stone away. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And you can almost see, like a B movie, this wrapped up figure, bound hand and foot, wandering out, the cloth over his face. And all of a sudden, the circulation has been restored, and the organs are functioning, and the muscles are contracting, and here he comes. Probably somewhat dazed, maybe a little disappointed. He'd been in heaven for 4 days. But there he was. Now, Lazarus died again. We don't have the particulars. We don't hear about Lazarus after that. But we do know pretty surely that Lazarus once again assumed room temperature, as did Mary and Martha. And I like to think that somewhere up in heaven, the family is still there. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, remembering the old times, remembering the back winds, and Jesus sitting there with them. Jesus saying, boy, that was a day. That was a grand day. We went from the depths of despair to the highest joys there are. And you know, the whole human document is enclosed right there. The reality of death, the promise of the resurrection, and the glory of new life. You see, death does not have the final word. For those of us who are believers, we know that death does not have the final say. Jesus was about the business of resurrection. In addition to Lazarus, there was the son of the widow of Nain. There was the son of Jairus, the daughter of Jairus. Jesus is about resurrection, and it is a sign of the kingdom that new life abounds. Let us always give thanks to God when death does not have the final word. Amen. what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together before the Lord. Let us pray. There are shadows on our days, O Lord. There is danger in the air. Warfare seems to spread, and hatred marches across our land, targeting those who are vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, our state and nation are racked by storms which claim life and joy and seem to make us nervous to even go outside for fear that we will hear the tornado sirens or the storms of life which come so unexpectedly and steal the joy from our days. Lord, in your mercy. Yeah. But we know, O Lord, that you are with us, that you love us, and that is our anchor point. Help us to share our strength with those who are weak. Help us to share our nourishment with those who are hungry. Help us to share our health and our wisdom with those who are lacking. And grant that the brotherhood and the sisterhood that is our humanity may find its fullest expression in the work of our hands and the joy of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. And guide us and keep us each and every day, and strengthen us to pray the prayer which our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and offerings as we present them to the Lord.
Thank you.
hearts, O Lord, we receive a portion of that which you've entrusted to us, and we return it to you, confident that you will use these gifts to expand your kingdom, and knowing that in the giving, you strengthen our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just one of the most triumphant hymns in all of Christendom. And we're not supposed to sing Alleluias during Lent, but I just couldn't resist. And somewhere on heaven's farthest coast, Lazarus is smiling. I want to remind the pulpit nominating committee, you have a very brief meeting following worship. Let's just meet in my office and then we can adjourn to the connections team meeting. Presbyterians do love to meet. Go forth in peace and in new life. New life inspired by eternal life, knowing that death does not have the final word. It doesn't even have an utterance in the grand scheme of things. Live life in joy, in peace, in confidence, and in truth. In the name of God who created us, the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. And all God's children said, Amen. You did it. Don't wait on me.